has joined. Has joined.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Are you the only one?
No, my uncle's on as well.
Okay.
I'm going to mute.
Okay. L'shem Yehud Kud Shabri Hu Ishkinte Bit Hilu Urkimu Utilu Utilu Urkimu. Leakta l'shem yudhei b'vavhei, v'yehuda shalim b'shem kol Yisrael, limud Torah mitzvah, la'asok Torah mitzvah, v'ayihino am Adonai Eloheinu aleinu ma'asei yadeinu k'nunei aleinu ma'asei yadeinu k'nuneihu. Today is the fourth Aliyah, and it consists of Bereshit or Genesis, chapter 14, verses 1 to 20, for a total of 20 verses. The 20 verses, the number 20 connects to 2 times 10. The number 20 is an aspect of, it connects to the letter Kaf, and the letter Kaf as a word means the palm. Is the palm your hand? It's part of your hand, but it's not complete in and of itself. It's not a completion stage, but you need the palm to attach the fingers. The fingers is what gives you the ability to manipulate the world around you. How? Because the thumb is opposite the fingers. If the thumb was on the same aspect as the fingers, you wouldn't be able to grasp anything. You wouldn't be able to hold it. But without the palm, you wouldn't be able to hold it also, because the fingers would be attached to the arm, and it would be a very different ability. The number 20 represents 2 times 10. It represents the 10 sephirot of direct light, what desire draws, and what the 10 sephirot of returning light, which is the only way that we can receive the light, is if we send the light away, which is the binding by striking. We draw it and we send it away.
Has joined.
And in the sending of it away, in the sending of the light away, we create a complete structure of 10 sephirot. This is a lifetime study. It's written in the 16 chapters or sections of the book, 10 Luminous Emanations, or Esser Sefirot by Rabbi Ashlag. And that is what we are studying on Sunday mornings as of now. Chapter 14, verse 1. Vayhi bime Amraphel melech shinar, Baruch melech elasar, Kedar lamo laomer, melech elam v'tidal melech goim. The word Amraphel, it's the third word in the verse, is another name for Nimrod, that negative king who was instrumental in the Tower of Babel. And his name, Amraphel, is telling you what his nature is. Amraphel has the word Amar, meaning speaking. It has a pe and a lamed, which does not have any meaning in Hebrew, or at least in modern Hebrew. But based on the letters, the pe is the mouth and the lamed is teaching. What does the concept of teach the mouth to speak? That's the name Amraphel. When it's parsed, when we look at it within the context of what is it teaching us? What did Nimrod do? He taught the mouth to speak. He basically communicated to people. The mouth represents in the frame of the intellect, the malchut. The manifestation of thoughts comes from the mouth. This is the mistake that Nimrod made. Asu milchama et bira melech Sodom et birsha melech Amora shinav melech Adma v'shim ever melech Sodom u'melech Bela hitzoar. These are the four kings. Kol ele tabru el amech asadim hu yam hamelach. Shetem esrei shana avdu et kedar la omer ushlosh esrei shana maradu uvarba esrei shana ba kedar la omer Hamlachim asherito vayaku et rafaim v'ashterot karnaim v'et hazuzim v'hem v'et haimim v'shawe kiryatayim V'et hachori b'hararam Seir adel paran asher al hamidbar. V'yashuvu v'yavu elin mishpat hikadesh v'yavayaku ekol sedeh. Ha amalei ki gamet ha Vayichu et kol rechush kusedom ve'amora v'et kol achlam v'yeleku Vayichu et lot v'et rechusho benachi avram v'yeleku v'hu yoshev Bisdom Vayavo Hapalit Vayagid Le Avram Haivri Wehu Shoken Velone Mamre Haemori Achi Eshko Vayachi Aner v'hem ba'ale v'rit Avram. Vayishma Avram ki nishba achiv v'yarek et hanikav Yalide veito shemona asar u'shlosh meot v'yirdof adan. V'yayichal ekalechem laila V'yavadav v'yakem v'yirdefen Ad chova asher m'yispoel T'edamasek V'yashev et kol harkush Gam et lot Achivur kushu Ur kusho heshiv gam et hanashim v'et ha'am Vayetze melech sedom likrato Achare shuvo mechakot Et kedar la omer, et ham lachin asher ito el emek, shavehu emek ha. HaMelech. Umalki tzedek melech shalem hotzi lachem v'yayin v'hu kohen le'el elyon. Vayavarakehu vayomar baruch Avram la'el elyon. Koneshemayim v'yaretz uvaruch el elyon asher migen tzarecha b'yadecha v'yiten lo ma'aser mikol. We will now have the English translation. Verse 1 of chapter 14 in English. And I have the Rashi commentary opened, which we'll take a look at as well. Now it came to pass in the days of Amraphel, the king of Shinar, Arioch, the king of Elazar, Chedorlaomer, the king of Elam, and Tidal, the king of the Goyim. Amraphel, this is Nimrod, who said Amar to Avram, fall into the fiery furnace. The word pol, or pei lamed without the vav. Pei vav lamed is the word fall, has the meaning of falling. Into the fiery furnace. And this is coming from the Midrash. The king of Goyim, this is a place named Goyim because people from many nations, the Goyim, and places assembled there, and they crowned over them a man named Tidal. Again, this is a midrash. Then they waged war with Bera, the king of Sodom, and with Birsha, the king of Gomorrah, Sheniab, the king of Adma, and Shemebar, the king of Zeboim, and the king of Bela, which is Zoar. Bela, he was evil to heaven and evil to people. Birsha, he was elevated in wickedness. Sheniab, he hated his father in heaven. Shemeber, he made wings to fly and to spring and to rebel against the Holy One, blessed be He. And Bela is the name of the city. All these joined in the valley of Siddim, which is the Dead Sea. The valley of Siddim, this is its name because there were many fields in it. And there are many Agadic Midrashim about these terms, which is the Dead Sea. Afterwards, the sea flowed into it, and it became the Dead Sea. The Midrash Agada, however, states that the rocks around it split, and rivers flowed into it. For 12 years, they served Chedorlaomer, and for 13 years, they rebelled. The five kings served Chedorlaomer for 12 years. And in the 14th year, Chedorlaomer came and the kings who were with him, and they smote the Rephaim in Ashterot, Kenaim, and the Zuzim in Ham, and the Amin in Shaveh Kiryat Taim. In the 14th year of their rebellion, Perdo Laomer came. Since the matter concerned him, he bore the heavier side of the beam. He bore a major part of the responsibility. And Zuzim, this is referring to a people called Zamzumim, which is spoken about in Deuteronomy chapter 2, verse 20. And the Horites in their mountain Seir until the plain of Paran, which is alongside the desert. The plain of Paran, according to its Aramaic translation, it means a plain. I say, however, that Baal, Aleph Yud Lamed, does not mean a plain, but rather that the plain of Paran was named Baal, and that the plain of Mamre was named Elonai, and that the plain of the Jordan was named Kikar, and that the plain of Shittim was named Abel. And similarly, Baal Gad was a plain named Baal, though they are all translated as Mishor, a plain, each one has its name accompanying it. Alongside the desert, Baal is alongside the desert, and alongside them was the tribe of Manasseh. And they returned and came to En Mishpat, which is Kadesh. And they smote the entire field of the Amalekites, and also the Amorites who dwelt in Hazizon Tamar. The field of the Amalekites, Amalek had not yet been born according to Rashi and history as we understand it. But it was given this appellation because the name of it would bear in the future. Verse 8, and the king of Sodom, and the king of Gomorrah, and the king of Adma, and the king of Zeboim, and the king of Bela, which is Zoar, came forth, and they engaged them in battle in the valley of Siddim. With Chedorlaomer, the king of Elam, and Tidal, the king of Goyim, and Amraphel, the king of Shinar, and Ariach, the king of Elisar. There were four kings against the five. Now the valley of Siddim was composed of many clay pits, and the kings of Sodom and Amorah fled, and they fell there, and the survivors fled to a mountain. And they took all the possessions of Sodom and Amorah, and all their food, and they departed. And they took Lot and his possessions, the sons of Avram's brother, and they departed. And he was living in Sodom. What brought this about, according to Rashi, is it was about capturing Lot. The war was all about Lot, but it was actually because Lot looked like Avram, they wanted to capture Avram and take him back to Nimrod. But they saw that Lot was in Sodom, and so they captured him, thinking he was Avram, according to the Midrash. Verse 13. And the fugitive came, and he told Avram the Hebrew, and he was living in the plain of Mamre, the Amorite, the brother of Eshcol, and the brother of Aner, who were Avram's confederates. I'm just looking at quickly at the Hebrew word aner, ayin nun resh, which is ayin is the eye or seeing, and ner is a candle. So his name was See the Candle. And the fugitive came, this is coming from Rashi, according to its simple meaning, this was Og who escaped from the battle. And that is what is referred to in Deuteronomy. Only Og survived from the rest of the Rephaim. And that is the meaning of survive, that Amraphel and his allies did not kill him when they smote the Rephaim in Ashterot Karneam. The Midrash in Genesis Rabbah explains that this is Og who escaped from the generation of the flood. And this is the meaning of from the rest of the Rephaim. As it is said, the Nephilim were on the earth, and he, Og, intended that Avram should be killed, and he would marry Sarah. Verse 14, and Avram heard that his kinsmen had been taken captive, and he armed his trained men, those born in his house, 318, and he pursued them until dawn. And he armed, according to Rashi, like its Aramaic translation, and similarly, and I will arm myself with my sword against you. Rashi is giving us different words, different phrases in different places in the Torah that complement the concept of I will arm. His trained men, it is written, Haniko, in the singular. His trained man. This is Eliezer, whom he had trained to perform the mitzvot. And he has this expression, Chanikav. This is an expression of the initiation, the beginning of the entrance of a person or a utensil to the craft with which he is destined to remain. And Rashi brings other locations where this word is used. 318. Our sages said in the Talmud that Eliezer alone was the person because his name has a gematria of 318. Until Dan, there he became weak, for he saw that his children were destined to erect a calf there. This is in reference to the building of the one of the two calves. One was placed in Bethel, and one was placed in the land of Dan. And he divided himself against them at night, he and his servants, and he smote them and pursued them until Hobah, which is to the left of Damascus. And he divided himself against them, according to its simple meaning, according to Rashi, transpose the verse, and he divided himself, he and his servants, upon them at night, as is customary for pursuers, who divide themselves after the pursued when they flee, one here and one there. At night, after nightfall, he did not refrain from pursuing them. But according to the Midrash, the knife was divided, and in its first half, a miracle was wrought for him. And its second half was preserved for the miracle of midnight in Egypt. Until Hobah. There is no place named Hobah, according to Rashi, but Dan is called Hobah, which means culpable, because of the idolatry which would be practiced there. But this is a hint to us to understand that every location that's given a name, the name is giving aspects of the attributes of that place. And that because something is called Dan, it's the land for the tribe of Dan, but it's also Dan is placed there because the word Dan is the same letters as Din, which is judgment. And the land where Dan is resided has the energy of judgment. This is the explanation, it's the hint, it's the clear understanding that location names are really describing attributes. They're describing the energy of that location. Verse 17. And the king of Sodom came out toward him after his return from smiting Kerlo Laomer and the kings, who were with him to the valley of Shava, which is the valley of the king. And Malchizedek, the king of Salem, brought out bread and wine, and he was a priest to the Most High God. And he blessed him, and he said, "Blessed be Avram to the Most High God, who possesses heaven and earth." And blessed be the Most High God who has delivered your adversaries into your hand. And he gave him a tithe from all. In verse 19, that blessing was a transfer of the high priesthood of the world to Avram. That's the end of our class. Does anyone have any questions? And while you're unmuting yourselves, I will remind you that there are actually four classes tonight, the rest of the day. We have a class at 11 a.m. West Coast time that is Musar. We're continuing the reading of Gomer Devorah. Our 4:30 class is our Deep Zohar class. Our 7 p.m. class is questions and answers. But since recently we've not been having a lot of questions, a lot of people either, we will start our study of the Hilulah for Rachel Imenu at the 7 p.m. West Coast time. So I hope you'll join us for that. It's not going to be an all-night study, but it will be a little bit longer than normal.
Hello.
Yes, Malcolm.
You stated that Nimrod wanted to kill Abraham. But then later on in the study, it said something that he wanted to marry Sarah. So was this whole war or battle was the intent just to marry Sarah?
No, it's two different people. One is Nimrod, and he wanted to kill Abram.
Okay.
The other is Og. He wanted to marry Sarah.
Okay. Evidently I didn't catch that. Okay.
Right. So Og was not killed. He was called the I don't remember the word that was used, but he was not killed by Nimrod, even though he was part of the five kings. But he was Og, who had survived the flood by attaching himself to the outside of the ark.
Right.
That's according to the Midrash.
Okay.
So he was the only one who survived the flood, except for the people in the ark. And so Og now lived in Sodom, or among the five kings. And so he went out to war against the four kings, and the four kings defeated the five kings. But they did kill Og. They let him go. And so he ran to Abram with the hope that he could entice Abram to go up against the kings and be killed so that he could marry Sarah. That's what Rashi is explaining.
How old was Og? He was pretty old, wasn't he?
The flood happened in the year 1656. Excuse me. The flood happened in the year 1648. And so the war with Abram was 10 generations after the flood. So it was about the year 2200, 2300. So he was roughly around 600-700 years old.
Has joined.
Which is not a whole lot of, you know, they were all living 1,000 years or thereabouts.
Right. And he was considered the evil side, right? One of the evil. Okay. Then he latched on with Noah, still trying to, latch on to the light, you know.
Yeah. Correct.
And then he went to Sodom. Sidon, where Lot was, right? So he's back on the other side, the negative side again. And then he's back with Abraham, which he stayed with Abraham even after the wars were finished, right? The battles were finished. He stayed with Abraham. And what didn't he become a servant of Abraham?
No. We don't know what happened to Og after Abraham defeated the kings.
Okay.
Doesn't tell us.
Okay.
The only thing we know is that he came to Abraham, he told him the Lot's been captured, and then Abraham went out to war. We don't know anything else about Og at that point.
So he had, you know, Og had stuff. he knew where the light was. He knew where the blessings were, so he could kind of bounce from one side to the other. For a very long time, right?
You can't say that he bounced from one to the other. He attached himself to the ark so that he could survive the flood.
Right.
Now, what is that really saying? The klipa is a shell that wraps itself around the fruit.
Right.
It protects the fruit, but at the same time, it can't be the fruit. The klipa is negativity. It's a vessel that cannot withstand the light being within it. But it wants the light. That's the negativity. Does that mean that it's moving to the positive side? No. Its nature is to desire the light. That's the essence of negativity. You desire the light without being able to handle the light. It means your vessel is too small. But it also means that you're not doing what the light wants you to do. The light wants you to grow your vessel so that you can handle the light. The negativity says, no, it's enough that I'm around it. Do you understand the distinction?
Yes, sir.
Are there any other questions? Those are good questions, Maka. You all have a beautiful day, and tomorrow we will do this again at the same time for the fifth Aliyah. Have a beautiful day. Shalom Gadol.
Shalom Gadol. Thank you.
Shalom Gadol. Thank you.